Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome back to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, Season 2, Episode 59. I'm Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, and my co-host David Todd is not with me today. He's lost, I believe, out in Las Vegas, Nevada again, as he was at the San Francisco game the other night at Candlestick Park when the power went off and all. And we talked about that on the podcast day before yesterday there. And I had a feeling he wasn't going to make it back today, so I have my old friend, good friend of Steelers Depot, does a lot of work for me on site, Nick Ricchetta, back with me in the co-pilot chair today. Nick, how you doing?
Doing fantastic. Glad to be back on, Dave.
Merry Christmas to you and yours, and if you celebrate Festivus, happy Festivus Eve to you.
Thank you, sir. Merry Christmas to you and your family and all of Steeler Nation.
Yep. You know, we got the St. Louis Rams coming to town on Saturday for a Christmas Eve game. And let's kind of start with the injury report that's come out on Thursday today, Nick. Ben Roethlisberger, Mawaldi Moore, Curtis Brown all sat out practice again today. Marquise Pouncey sat out today after being limited yesterday with his ankle. Scott Brown tweeted that he was a little testy about being asked about his status today, which may lead you to believe that ankle of his swelled up a little bit after he did some work yesterday there. So, you know, Mawaldi Moore and Curtis Brown, I think it's going to be pretty safe to say that those two guys are out. Moore had that MCL sprain against the 49ers. Curtis Brown, being a rookie, if you don't practice, you don't play. I don't look for him to go. Lamar Woodley was limited today after not going yesterday. Emmanuel Sanders was limited as well, and Chris Carter was added back to the injury report as limited. I would be surprised if Sanders go. Don't really have a good feeling yet on Lamar Woodley. I would kind of think they'd keep him down again this week. So the question really becomes with Pouncey and Roethlisberger. I've kind of laid out my thoughts on this, but I wanted to get your take on Roethlisberger, especially considering that the news came out today that Anquan Boldin for the Ravens will be out 2 weeks with meniscus surgery as they wrap up their season. What do you do with Ben Roethlisberger, Nick?
I think it's a really tough call, but what I've been telling people all week is if it were me, I think I'd end up sitting him. I think I'd actually end up sitting all these guys that are a little banged up. I say play all your starters that are healthy, but these starters that are banged up, I think they need a little bit of a break. It was quite evident against the 49ers that you know, when Ben was still in the pocket, he, even if he didn't have pressure around him, he couldn't plant, he couldn't step into his throws. A lot of throws were high or something like that. And then when the pocket collapsed around him, he couldn't move at all. I mean, there were times where, you know, you would see classic Ben step up in the pocket or wiggle out to the right or the left, and he could go out there and make a play on the run, but he just couldn't move whatsoever. And you know, the Rams' defense obviously isn't nothing stellar, but they got a decent front four that could get after us a little bit, and I just don't think you risk going out there and having Ben, you know, hop around on that ankle, and he just can't move in the pocket whatsoever.
I've kind of been on the other side of this. You know, if he's no worse than he was entering in the game against the 49ers, you know, here's the thing, Nick, that I think about. The Steelers still have a shot, you know, to get a first-round game at Heinz Field if the Ravens were to lose and the Steelers were to run the table. And there's still a shot. Who knows what's going to happen with the Texans tonight and what's going to happen with the Patriots on week 17 against the Bills. Although it's an outside shot, you know, all the things went right, you know, before the 49ers game went and set us up for a situation there. We don't really know how bad off Ben is after this game against the 49ers. And I was on Trib Live Radio earlier this week and said, hey, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he plays. Ben is a gamer. He wants to play. I don't think it's going to be his decision once again. I think he'll get out there, Bruce Arians, and say he's a game-time decision. The only thing is, on this short week now, being the game Saturday coming off Monday, is that enough time for some of that yellow, for some of that swelling to go back down after the game? You know, Charlie Batch and Dennis Dixon, let's be honest. I'm not a big fan of Dixon. I've made that clear several times on the podcast and in my writings on Steelers Depot. Charlie Batch, you know, on any given Sunday against the Steelers, and Charlie Batch at quarterback, things could go south on this. I think Batch gives you the better opportunity to win, but on the flip side, you know, it becomes a losable game at that point. So let me throw this at you. Would you dress Ben as a second or third quarterback? And, you know, if things start going south with Charlie Batch, do you let him into the game at that point? Or if you make the decision not to play him, then you're not playing him altogether.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point there about dressing him. There's a big difference between what I think is going to happen. I think he's going to end up playing, to be honest with you, because Ben is Ben, and he's going to, you know, if he can walk, he's going to want to play, and he's going to give a big push to play. Do I think he should play or at least start? I'm not sure, because it seems as if Charlie, you know, when Charlie gets a chance to prepare as the starter and get some reps all week in practice, he seems to be able to, you know, prepare like he's the starter and then play, you know, half decent or serviceable in the game. Whereas if he comes in, you know, when Ben got hurt, he seems to be a little flustered and not be in the flow of the game. So I think, I don't know, if it were up to me, I think I might start out with Charlie just to keep Ben safe. And then, you know, if it's close or you start going down, you get down, then you put Ben in to win the game. Because, no doubt, you got to win these two games just because you have the doubt of, you know, if the Ravens and the Patriots could dump these, you know, one of these last two games or whatnot. So I think these last two games for the Steelers against the Rams and the Browns are definitely games you have to win. I just don't know if it's worth, you know, going out and risking these guys, you know, with Ben and Pouncey and stuff like that. So I say you dress them, you know, if they're game time decisions, you let them dress, but don't start them and see what their backups can do. And if you need to, then throw them in the game. But it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, and I think we can both agree that Mike Tomlin is in a no-win situation here, because if you start Roethlisberger and, God forbid, he gets hurt worse than he already is and it affects his play heading into the playoffs, then – then everybody's going to say, see, I told you, you shouldn't have, well, Roethlisberger should have sat the final 2 weeks of the season. On the flip side, you've got the fact that, let's say, Batch and Dixon give it a roll, and for some unknown reason, they drop one of these last two games against the Rams and the Browns. And let's say that the Ravens, let's say just something happens, and there's a lot of hypotheticals here, but let's say, you know, things roll the way that the Steelers way, and those teams lose a game each, and then Steelers could have had the number one seed there, you know, in the playoffs. People will say, oh, well, see, you should have started Roethlisberger if we would have won those two games. And then on the flip side, you've got, you know, the fact that you could sit Roethlisberger, he get 100% healthy, and him not playing for 2 weeks and then going into the playoffs kind of cold, if you will, how much rust is going to be on him from there. So regardless of the decision that's made on Saturday, you're not going to please Steeler Nation.
No, and there is no pleasing Steeler Nation. Like you said, everybody wants to be always right. God love all of us that are black and gold fans, but we all want to be right all the time, and no matter what happens, you're always going to say the opposite. You're exactly right. If Ben plays and something happens to him, then everyone's going to say, see, I told you we shouldn't have started him. But if he doesn't play and we would dump that game, then we'd be like, I knew we should have started Roethlisberger. So really, you can't – obviously, you know, none of those coaches are in there caring about what we think. But it's just – you're never going to please anybody, unfortunately, in this fan base. So they just got to do what they got to do. I think the best option at this point would be if they're not healthy enough or fully healthy to play, it's too close to the playoffs to risk it. Go in there with the backups, see if you can win these two games. If you have to, put Ben in to go squeak out some wins, because they are must wins because of all the hypothetical, you know, situations we got coming up. But you know, I just don't think right off the bat you risk getting these guys more hurt. And then, you know, you're going – if you limp into the playoffs with Ben being out and Pouncey being out, you know, you really don't have a shot.
Yeah, and, you know, after I kind of thought Ben would have worked by today. I would have thought he would have at least been limited today. So, you know, even though he did not get much work last week, they had the extra day and all like that with the Monday Night Football, you know, playing on Monday night and all. I kind of thought, well, okay, well, Ben will, you know, take the first part of the week off. He'll get in there on you know, Thursday, take a few reps, and of course Friday there's not going to be much. It's pretty much a walkthrough for them on Friday. So you know, the question becomes, you know, how much of the game plan have they been able to implement? I think their mind's already made up this, you know, by now, especially being that Ben has not worked for the first 2 days. So you know, I'm going to be flip-flopping a little bit, and I'm going to say that I'm willing to bet Charlie Batch starts this game. And being as how, you know, the amount of injured players that are likely to be inactive on Saturday anyways, I bet Ben is active and is dressed for the game. I just don't think he's going to start. Now, if you look at the times that people play, but the Steelers play the play the early game along with Baltimore. Houston, of course, plays tonight. New England plays early as well against Miami. So theoretically, I guess, which I noticed Tomlin would never admit to this, I guess you could sit there and scoreboard watch along the way too. And, you know, let's say for some unknown reason the Browns get up on the Ravens or you know, and you already know whether or not the Texans have lost after tonight. You know, maybe that's a situation that might play into it, too. It's totally hypothetical on my part. I don't think they would do something like that. I think if Charlie starts the game, it's his. But, man, I would just, Nick, I would just hate for it come down to getting a loss either this week or next week against the Browns. And the Ravens or one of these teams just mess up, and we could have had the home field advantage throughout the playoffs just sitting there. I know that's a little bit selfish. I know you got to be smart here, but we'll just have to see.
Yeah, but I agree with you. I think, you know, behind the scenes there's going to be a lot going on. I don't think they're going into this game with anything set in stone. I think, you know, they're going to be scoreboard watching a little bit, like you said. And I just think it's going to be a kind of wait and see thing to see how everything unfolds. But one thing I want to just get your opinion on quick is the thing nobody's really talking about, because, you know, Mike Wallace has been playing well, and obviously Antonio Brown blew up this year. I am really, really worried about Emmanuel Sanders' feet and his knee. I mean, he's a dynamic player when he's on the field and when he's healthy, but he's too young to have these foot and knee problems, and I'm getting really kind of worried about it.
Man, I have been on the Rolaids all seasons. Ever since he had that second surgery, you know, his first one, of course, was the broken left foot suffered in the Super Bowl. He got that repaired. Then they found the stress fracture in the right foot. And then he goes into training camp and has to have another procedure done. And then he has the knee issue, which he had to have that done. And I've been screaming, you know, I thought maybe I was overreacting all this time. And I don't think David even saw, wasn't as concerned as I am. But I'm with you. A young receiver with foot problems is never a good thing. And I am concerned. And it seems like every time he goes back out there to start going 100%, he re-aggravates it. And this is the left foot, the one he broke in the Super Bowl, that he's re-aggravated here. And you've got to be concerned. I would not be surprised. Well, yeah, I would be shocked if he plays, you know, Saturday against the Rams or Sunday against, or the following week against the Browns, for one. But you just don't like to hear this stuff out of a young receiver with so much promise that he showed as a slot receiver, the guy that was kind of slated to be the heir apparent to Hines Ward going forward. And I'm with you. My concern has been there dating back to while the lockout was going on. I hope to God I'm wrong. I hope he recovers. The kid is great. I saw the interview with him on Steelers Live at 4 today. Just a great kid all the way around. So, you know, keep your fingers crossed on him. He would be a big boost to 100% in the playoffs for the Steelers as well. We mentioned Hines Ward there. There is a small possibility that Saturday's game against Rams could be Hines' last game in a Steeler uniform at Hines, especially if they don't get a home playoff game. And, you know, Hines has kind of thrown this talk off to the side. What do you think he's going to do?
If I was a betting man, I would say, given that he's still getting some snaps, I'd say Hines is going to be back for one more year. If he would come back for another year, I'm sure his role would diminish even more, being that, you know, you got a younger, faster, a little bit bigger and stronger kind of Hines Ward type player now with Jericho Cotchery being in there. And I just think that, you know, if Hines comes back, it's going to be kind of on his shoulders to just kind of come back and realize that his role is going to kind of be a leadership mentor role, that, you know, guys are starting to step up. And with you know, those the Young Money crew family there with Emmanuel Sanders, Antonio, and Mike Wallace, you know, those are going to be your top three guys, I would believe, barring they're all healthy. And then you got Jericho Cotchery, who is a Hines Ward type guy. And we all love Hines. You know, we don't want to see him go anywhere, but unfortunately the production is dropping, the ability is dropping, and you know, you just there's going to be other guys stepping up. And right now it seems as if probably Hines Ward is the fifth best receiver on that team right now if Emmanuel Sanders would be healthy.
Looking at his cap amount, I mean, the guy is signed through 2013. Hines Ward, that is, when you look at his cap number, and the Steelers are going to be, we're going to be getting into this in the future podcast. I've written about this quite a bit already. He has a cap charge next year of $4.6 million, okay? You're not going to pay a guy to be a fourth wide receiver $4.6 million on a cash-strapped team. Let's also remember that Jericho Cotchery, I believe his deal was a one-year deal, so he's not under contract next year, so you would have to re-sign him as well. Does Hines take a pay cut?
I think you would have to. I mean, unfortunately, you know, like I said, we all love Hines, but if he wouldn't take a pay cut, I don't know if they could keep him. Like you said, I don't know if you can keep a fourth receiver for $4.6 million like that. I just don't see it happening. And another thing you got to think about, too, is, like you said, they only signed Cotchery for 1 year. If they would want to bring Cotchery back, would Jericho Cotchery want to be a fourth receiver? You know, there's just a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of guys' attitudes come into play here. And in this game, no matter if you're Hines Ward or you're Terry Bradshaw or you're Franco Harris, you can't worry about guys' feelings. You're out there to try and win football games. So I think Hines would have no choice if he wanted to stay on the team to take a pay cut. But, you know, that's a bridge we're going to have to cross when we get there.
Yeah, and you also got to keep in mind Mike Wallace's status. They're going to have to lock him up in the offseason. You've got Antonio Brown, you know, his contract's coming due, not next year, I mean, he's under contract next year, but I think the year after that, he's coming due along with Emmanuel Sanders, because both those kids were signed to three-year rookie contracts when they were drafted. You throw on top of it, you know, let's kind of think maybe if Emmanuel Sanders, maybe there is something to this foot problem going forward as well, too. You could very well be in a situation heading into next season where you have your only real true receivers on the roster could be Mike Wallace and Antonio Brown. Of course, there, you know, that's total speculation at that point. You know, so maybe we see the Steelers. I think it would be a good sign heading into the draft that the Steelers addressed a wide receiver position in the draft as well, too, as to what they think is going to happen as far as Sanders goes, and we should already know what the status of Hines Ward is at that point. But it's definitely something to throw in the back of your mind, and we'll be discussing, you know, the upcoming roster situations going forward. But if indeed it is Hines Ward's last game. I wrote about this the other day, last night. You know, make sure you wear your number 86 jersey to the stadium tomorrow or on Saturday. And, you know, give Hines that little bit of extra love, because you just never know. You know, should the Steelers go ahead and march to Indianapolis and catch their seventh Lombardi trophy, I'm almost certain Hines would probably hang him up by then. Let's hope that he gets the extra nine catches that he gets over the next two seasons. He's not going to get him in 1 week, I don't think, this week. I think they can feed him three or four balls this week with the hope of getting him the rest of those catches to get to that 1,000 mark next week, against the Browns. So what else is on your mind, Nick?
That's you pretty much hit it all. Like you said, Steeler Nation, please wear your Heinz Ward jerseys to the game on Saturday, because I'm sure they're gonna announce the offense and just make sure you give Heinz the biggest cheer you possibly can. I know when I go to games and they announce the defense, Troy Polamalu always gets the big roar. So Steeler Nation, make sure you give Heinz Ward that love that you always give Troy and give him a big roar.
Many people don't realize. In fact, let me reemphasize. Nick Ricchetta here is with me today. A long time, been contributing for a little bit for me on SteelersDepot.com. He's the one that charts a lot of my offensive stuff as far as a participation chart goes. And really nothing really. I guess when I wrote after you got the chart to me, and I went over it and reviewed the game there, Hines and his 9 offensive snaps in that game was one of the things that stuck out. And the Steelers didn't use a lot of 2 or 3 tight ends in this game as well either, as they have in the past. Now, of course, late in the game, it was to be expected. You want the 3 and 4 wide receivers on the field because you're down in the game there. But I kind of find it curious that they didn't go 2 or 3, tight end packages like they usually like to use.
Yeah, and I think the reason they might have done that is because a lot of times when they run those 2 and 3 tight end packages, it's a lot of run, obviously. And I think they realized that, during the game that they weren't going to be able to run the ball very much on the 49ers. So I think that's the reason they shied away a little bit from that 3 tight end set. I did notice though that Mike Wallace is always that number one receiver on the field when they have only one receiver out there on a set. He had 65 snaps out of the 66, so that shows you how highly they think of Mike Wallace. And I think Jericho Cotchery might have had the second most snaps or third most behind Antonio Brown as well. But Jericho Cotchery is getting a lot of time too, which is why I brought his name up in the Heinz Ward talk, because with all these receivers you got, it's a problem you like to have. But there's going to be a lot of speculation in the offseason as to what they're going to do with all these contracts, because having a surplus of receivers, there's a lot of mouths to feed.
Yeah, Cotchery, I think Cotchery's going to play a big role going forward here, especially if Sanders is hampered by that, by his knee / foot, if you will, going forward here. So, yeah, Cotchery's season high, 54 non-penalty snaps. And really, that not too much stuck out offensive participation chart-wise other than that. Let's kind of turn our attention quickly to the Rams as we kind of mop things up here. I talked to and I'll be having a conversation here in the next segment with R.B. Falstrom, the St. Louis Sports AP beat writer. We're going to talk about the Rams a little bit. But, outside of Steven Jackson, on offense, this is a game, regardless of who starts at quarterback for the Steelers or on the defensive side of the ball, for that matter. Has anything stuck out in what you've seen from the Rams this year?
The only thing that stuck out to me is how anemic their offense has been. I mean, it is just absolutely awful. I was actually talking to a Rams fan today, believe it or not, a Rams fan in Pennsylvania, probably the only Rams fan on the East Coast, actually. But I was talking to him, and he said, even if Ben Roethlisberger doesn't play and you got Charlie Batch or Dennis Dixon or whoever you're going to start, all you really need to do is put up, 10, 14 points on the Rams, and you could lock in a win there, because their offense has just been absolutely pitiful. Steven Jackson is the only bright spot they have right now, and the Steelers play the run well, usually. So if they shut down Steven Jackson with Sam Bradford still ailing, and you could have a backup quarterback in there controlling that offense, I just don't see them being able to put up, any points on the board.
Yeah, I don't either. Their defense, I think, is kind of underrated. That long kid, he's been playing through an injury, and I talked to R.B. Falstrom about that here in the second half of the show. I like what he brings to the table as far as pass rush, too. He can get after the quarterback. James Laurinaitis, the linebacker inside, really has had a nice season. Their secondary has just gone through so many bodies this year due to injury and all. The Steelers, I think, will try to run the ball Initially, of course, we've said that the last few weeks, and especially with Ben in the kind of banged up here, but they still insisting on kind of throwing it. But you know, is this a game the Steelers blow them out, or is this just going to be a let's just get through this 60 minutes and you know, put up 18, 19, 20 points on the scoreboard here against the Rams and you know, move on to the Browns?
I believe it's just going to be a move-on game. Even if Ben would start, I think the offense is going to be very vanilla. I don't think there's going to be much going on. I think it's just going to be, obviously, you don't want to go into a game thinking, you know, that a team is less talented or worse than you and you're going to just go in and blow them out. You got to go in and treat every team the same, like you know, they're a division rival or whatever, and you got to go in and make sure you're going to win this game and play at your best. But I just don't see the urgency being there, being that it's the Rams and how awful they've just been lately. So I think it's, you know, they're going to go in, maybe put 20 points on the board, don't give up more than, I don't know, 7 points, and just get out of there with a win, and more importantly, get out healthy.
Yeah, I think that's the big key here, too. As, you know, as long as they don't turn the ball over on offense or special teams, outside of that, I mean, that to me, that's the only way that the Rams can win the ball game. They need turnovers, and they've had problems of their own, like the Steelers this year, of getting turnovers, and they would have to run Steven Jackson would have to have, you know, 100 yards rushing and another 60 yards receiving for them to be in this ball game. But me and David will break down this game, I think, a little bit more in depth on Friday. So, Nick, anything else to wrap up with before I cut you loose?
Just one final prediction that I'm going to make. I think the Steelers are going to have 5-plus sacks in this game because James Harrison is going to come out hungry, and the Rams are down to maybe, what, their third or fourth tackle, because I know – both the Smith kid or whatever his name is and Roger Saffold went down. So I think Harrison is going to be in charge and electric and ready to blow up whoever's in there at quarterback. And I think Jason Worlds could get after the quarterback a bit this week. So I think they're going to feast in the backfield this against the Rams.
Yeah, and I talked to R.B. Falstrom about that offensive line here up next as well, too. They really, I tell you, they really have gone through some injuries and rotated some body on the offensive line. And being a Steelers fan, you kind of can relate to that for what we've done the last several years on our offensive line as well. So, well, Nick, without any further ado, I think we'll go ahead and throw this to the my interview with R.B. Falstrom, the AP St. Louis sports writer here. Nick, I appreciate you joining me. For those who want to follow Nick on Twitter, and they should, it's still CityKid117. He does a great job of filling in for David Todd when he's not on the show. Nick, so thank you so much for your time, and Merry Christmas and Happy Festivus to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Always a pleasure to come on. Merry Christmas to you. Happy New Year to you and Steeler Nation. Everybody be safe and enjoy the holidays.
And here's my interview with R.B. Falstrom. Welcome back to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. My co-host David Todd is out in Las Vegas, Nevada. He's not with me today, but we on course, as we usually do every Wednesday or Thursday, we have a beat writer from the opposing team that the Steelers will face. And this week, Saturday at Heinz Field, the Steelers take on the St. Louis Rams, and I'm pleased to be joined by R.B. Falstrom, the AP St. Louis sports writer out that way. I've been out there, been a sports writer for, 20-plus years, R.B. Welcome to the Terrible Podcast.
Well, thanks for having me.
Let's get right to some things here. I guess there's not that much drama in this game this week, except on the Steelers' side as far as Ben Roethlisberger and his status for the game, which he's denying reports that he will sit out and all. But let's turn our attention to the Rams here. Can you update us on the injury report from the Rams on Thursday?
From yesterday, actually, nothing has changed today. Bradford hasn't practiced in 2 weeks. I can't imagine he's going to play. He has a high ankle sprain, the same injury that Roethlisberger has, but apparently it's a little worse. Either that or his pain tolerance isn't as high. But at any rate, that he's barely walking around on the thing. He was in a walking boot on the sideline Sunday. Got out of it on Tuesday, but still not doing anything. So I would say it's 99.9% that Kellen Clemens gets his second start.
Josh Gordy, with him and that oblique muscle, does it look like he's going to be able to go Saturday? I know their secondary is extremely beat up.
Yeah, I think he'll be able to play. And if he doesn't, you probably won't notice. They'll fill in another guy that they'll change the coverage to include more safeties. They really haven't. Those guys are all. It's kind of interesting how they've been able to plug in other players and not get completely torched in the secondary because the pass rush has been so good. The front seven is compensating or taking care of business. The front four in particular is having a good year rushing the passer. Chris Long has 13 sacks. Long story short, I think even if he is hurt, nobody had heard of him about 6 or 7 weeks ago anyway.
You talked about Long there, the son of Howie Long, of course, and I've gotten a chance to watch a little bit of tape on him going back through some of the games. And, this kid's is a throwback, and he's actually been playing kind of dinged up as well. They've got to be happy. I know there's not a lot of things this season with all the injuries and all like that, but he really has been a bright spot for the Rams this year.
Yeah, if he's on a good team, he's probably in the Pro Bowl. The teams get totally ignored that have these kind of records that the Rams have. Maybe they get one representative. Maybe Long's the guy. Maybe Jackson goes again. Long certainly deserves it. He hasn't practiced, I don't think, the last 3 weeks. Nursing. He's got a left ankle sprain, not a high one, just a low one. But anyway, it hurts for his drive. Push off on the line. At any rate, he nurses it all week long, and come Sunday, and he's pretty much 100. Seems like he's 100%. You can't tell that he's hurt.
How about James Laurinaitis? How's he been this year?
He's been a rock in the middle. They're worst in the league against the run, but it's a little bit skewed. They'll hold. It's the offense is so poor. They average 11 points last in the league. The offense is so poor that the defense is. There's all these three and outs. They're in. They're out. They're back. They're back and forth all the time, and they hold. They hold the dike. They hold the fingers in the dike for, two or three quarters, and then the thing busts. But Laurinaitis is certainly worthy, too, if you have to pick one guy off one of these two-win teams to go leading the team in tackles again.
You mentioned Steven Jackson there. Really a bright spot considering all the injuries to the Rams' offensive line and the shuffling that's going on there. I think he's only 30-something yards short from another 1,000-yard season. When you look back at that game against, what was it, the Seahawks, there looked to be, I kind of wonder, too, why he wasn't down in there on some of those red zone plays and all like that. Does he have some animosity after the, a few losing seasons for the Rams? I mean, is he a guy, has he done enough to void his contract, A, and B, do you think he's gone?
No, I don't think he's gone. He's got some incentive. Set, if he meets certain incentives, he can void it. He's not going to meet those incentives. But in any case, I think he's committed to staying here. He's been sort of the elder statesman, leader of the clubhouse type guy for two or three seasons now. He said it the last couple of weeks that he has no desire to go anywhere else. He wants to stay and build this thing. Poor guy. If he played in New York, he would be a god. But St. Louis, they don't. I mean, he's in flyover country, and no one really knows who he is. But he's going to. He gets 34 yards on Sunday, or next week. He should get 34 Sunday. He's the seventh player in NFL history to rush for 1,000 yards in seven straight seasons. So it's pretty good company, and it shows that shows his durability.
Most certainly does. They've had all the shuffling, I think, on the Rams line and all. Have they been able to finally get a little bit of continuity there over the last few weeks?
Sort of, kinda. They moved Harvey Dahl from right guard to right tackle, and everybody else has been shuffling around. The Jason Brown, who started at center the first 8 or 9 games, He got benched for a couple of games. Now he's playing a guard. They signed a guard off the street has started two games. Brian Madison. It's just a hodgepodge. Dahl is the only guy, the only starter that's played the whole season. He had three offensive line guys out. Both tackles are out. So that has a lot to do with it. You'll see Jackson jump cutting and people criticizing for that. Where he'll head into the line and jump to the left or jump to the right. That's because there's nothing there a lot of times. So he's putting his head down and getting what he can.
Yeah. Sam Bradford, AP Rookie of the Year last year, and I really thought he had a good year for a rookie. And how bad did the lockout and all and the new offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels, how big of a role along with – I know they've had a lot of injuries to the receivers too. Did that really just hamper his development?
I don't think the McDaniels offense was suited to the Rams at this time. I don't know if it calls for a lot more long, slow developing patterns, and as a consequence, Bradford got beat up. The receiving corps, he's going to miss his fourth game. He's got the receiving corps has never been very distinguished. They have not. This regime has not spent hardly any money on wide receivers. Their big catcher last year was a guy that they picked up off of a practice squad. He's become a pretty good player. But Danny Amendola, he's been out since the opening game. He was a possession guy, so you knock him, you excise him out of the equation. The one guy they signed during that free agency period, Mike Sims Walker, he was a total bust. So then you're left with a bunch of guys that are undrafted basically until they get Brandon Lloyd. And around that same time, and Bradford gets hurt. So he's never had – I don't think he's had ever a good year. I think he's getting a little gun-shy in the pocket, and he's beat up that plant foot. You can't put the proper force on the ball. You're hurt. He's like Roethlisberger. I don't know how Roethlisberger's doing it. It's, it's one hand tied behind your back, sort of. Roethlisberger is a statue to be tackled. Bradford's sort of the same way. It's tough times.
Of course, the news came out yesterday on Austin Pettis being suspended for four games, and that means he'll miss definitely the Saturday game, of course, against the Steelers. I'm guessing what Brandon Lloyd and Denario Alexander will be the two primaries. What do they look like after that?
Brandon Gibson will be the third guy. He's been in and out. He's just okay. Alexander's a good deep threat. You can throw the jump ball to him, which that's the touchdown pass he caught last week. It was a jump ball in the end zone. He outleaps two defenders. Lloyd is a pretty good streaky possession receiver. I'm sure he'll be getting double coverage. So then that's up to Gibson to get open on some small patterns. I would estimate that Jackson's going to be seeing a lot more of the ball on receptions too. Clemens used him as a safety valve quite a bit last week, especially in the 2-minute offense.
Have they been using their tight ends? And the Steelers have had some problems with some teams with some tight ends this year. We saw this against Vernon Davis on Monday night. In that game, and it hasn't been the first time that teams have been able to get a tight end lined up on a linebacker, either James Ferrier or Lawrence Timmons. Is Lance Kendricks that guy that can if Kellen Clemens gets enough time, is he a guy that can kind of run away from some linebackers?
I don't think he is this year. I think he's it's been a learning experience for him. It looks like he's got a lot of promise. He's got the size, he's got the speed, but he's dropped some balls. He's missed some blocks. I think his confidence is a little bit shaken. They had another guy that's on, Mike O.O. Manamanui. He's on injured reserve. He was a pretty good. He was a guy that might be able to get loose, run some stretch plays, but he's hurt. So I don't think so. Billy Badgema is a kind of a vanilla guy. their other tight end. They don't have much in the way of dynamic players at that position right now. I would say Kendricks is maybe down the line, but he's a second round pick and all, but not yet, I don't think.
I'm talking with R.B. Fahlstrom, the AP St. Louis sports writer. You can follow him on Twitter at R.B. Fahlstrom AP, all one word, and I'll have the link to this in the post when I put the podcast up as well. R.B., Steve Spagnuolo, what's your gut feeling on, you know, they going to keep him around? Is he definitely on the hot seat? You predict a change there?
I would suggest he's a dead man walking. He's got to go. He's 10-36. That's horrible, horrible. That's a horrible record. I can't imagine that he would get some kind of a waiver to play again, to coach again, because there's injuries or something like that. But the Rams weren't good enough when they were healthy either. So either way you slice it, it's been this regime has been a failure. I expect GM Billy Devaney to also get the haircut. I was kind of surprised around the time that Chiefs fired their coach. A couple coaches went in 2 weeks ago. I was kind of surprised that maybe they wouldn't make the change then. The interest is really down here. They'll announce the crowds. I don't know. The Edward Jones Dome holds about 65,000. They announced crowd the last couple of games have been like 55, 56, but it really looks about half full. And noise is down. It just interest is waning. You're gonna have to do something. You can't just. Spags is a nice guy, and it looks like I think he's a good defensive coach, but I don't. The whole package just is not working.
Where do you see their primary needs heading into the draft?
Boy, they got a lot of stuff they need. Offensive line once again. Wide receiver. Those are two that really stick out. I don't want to go and throwing money at a quarterback early. That would be Bradford will be good. He needs to be surrounded with better players. Those would be my two main points of emphasis. Cornerback. I don't know that you want to go for somebody that they're going to be picking 1, 2, 3, so not one, but probably third in the draft. So. I don't know. I don't know for sure. They might have also, wide receiver? There's a couple of, I wouldn't be surprised if that's what they do.
I tell you, it really has, you know, you got a feel for him, man. You look at all the injuries and all that's gone on. Josh McDaniels, I assume if Spags is gone, he'll be gone too?
Gosh, yes, I hope so. he hasn't showed us anything. It's... Trick, yeah, I don't know. There's times where you wonder, what was that? They had a reverse to the short side of the field. The guy had, like, I don't know, he didn't have any room to turn. He does stuff like that, a flea flicker where the Bradford got murdered on a flea flicker that was ill-devised. This stuff just doesn't seem like it's been practice to the point where they can execute it in the game. There's a disconnect somewhere there, and it's but you keep hearing that he would be a candidate in Kansas City. So I say good luck to the Chiefs.
Yeah, well, most definitely. Now and it looks like the players are stepping up for Romeo Crennel especially after their loss. I mean their win against the Packers this past week.
They're in the honeymoon period now. You know how that goes.
Right, exactly.
Usually you bring in a new guy and he's laid down the law or you're just worried about your security for the next year, so you want to show this guy, see how long it lasts.
You know? Right. You know, they say any given Sunday, and we saw that with the Chiefs and the Packers. Let's talk about any given Saturday. Regardless of who starts at quarterback for the Steelers on Saturday, is there any chance that the Rams win this game?
Oh, yeah, there's always a chance. Like you say, any given Sunday. The Rams had put it all together, I forget what week it was, but they beat the Saints 31-21. They were Bradford was out. Feely ran the – he didn't even have that great a game, but Jackson ran for 100 yards. Everything just worked to perfection. That was one – that's the only win they deserve. They got the other one in against the Browns when they flubbed the chip shot field goal at the finish, But that they did put it together that one time, so the hope springs eternal, I guess, for some people, and that would be the hope.
Will a win be because of turnovers or because of Steven Jackson running like crazy in the game?
I would say yes and yes. They're not getting hardly any turnovers on D. They have to make their own offense. They average about a touchdown a game. It's very puny. They need to make a lot more things happen. And that would be the only scenario in which they'd beat the Steelers, I would say.
And the Steelers are struggling themselves with turnovers, you know, in the differential this year. So, you know, we saw Roethlisberger play on that gimpy ankle last, you know, Monday night and turned the ball over four times, and that was most definitely the difference in the game there. Before I let you out of there, do you care to share a prediction on the game for Saturday?
Steelers 20, Rams 6.
Okay.
They can't get in the end. They have a hard time getting in the end zone. They got to get a couple of field goals.
Fair enough. That's R.B. Falstrom, AP sports writer, St. Louis area there. You can read his work. It crops up on Yahoo. You can read it everywhere that covers the AP. Make sure to follow him on Twitter, at R.B. Falstrom, AP. R.B., I appreciate you taking time out of your busy afternoon to join us today on the Terrible Podcast.
You're welcome. Have a great day.